Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
How many want to be utilized for the gospel of Christ? Amen. You know, I think of the great apostle Paul in some of his writings, you know, and he said, the things that I want to do, you know, I find myself not doing. So I ask, I said, how many want to be utilized for the work of the gospel? And we all raise our hand, and I say, oh man, we're all guilty, man. We don't find ourselves doing really what we would like to. And we all make an effort, you know, we all do our part, do a little bit here and a little bit there, but, you know, I want to be well spent. Amen. How many want to be spent for the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to think that the day I take my last breath, I'm all used up. Amen. That I done gave it all, everything that I've got. I don't want to give him just a little bit. The Bible said to give our life as a living sacrifice. Amen. And how many have made a dead sacrifice unto the Lord? You know, want to be a living sacrifice. Something he could use, something that could be utilized for his glory. Amen. And I want to give this life solely unto him. I need a brotherhood and a people like yourself to help me, to pray for me. When you see me weak, pray for me that I could have strength. Amen. If you see me behind, come up and grab a hold of my hand and pull me on. Amen. That's what the importance of a brotherhood is, brethren. It is important one for another. When you feel like you've got so much strength you don't need a brotherhood, the first problem is you're deceived. Now think about our Lord God and our Savior that came to the earth. What did he do? What was the first thing he sought after? He was building a brotherhood. He went out sought out brethren. The Bible said one could set 1,000, two could set 10,000. Amen? And we have to realize the need of a brotherhood. You know, there's so many other scriptures that people take out of context and out of hand. You know, that, well, we have no need of man. There's a scripture that says that, you know, we get these things from the Holy Ghost. I say, praise God. You know, that makes us inexcusable. But if we didn't have no need of men, then what did he send preachers for? What did he send teachers for? Why did God do these things? These are things that we got to take in consideration. We so oftentimes, you've heard me say, we read the word amiss or in error. We read it to our own advantage. And you say, well, that's what we need to. We need to take full advantage of the scriptures and the word of God, you might say. Well, you won't go nowhere that way. Brother Pike used to be preaching. He'd say, I know you got it. He said, yeah, go ahead and put another notch on your gun belt or whatever. You know, I know you got it. You're ready now. You know, get out there and get with it and go for it, you know. And he was mocking a devil is all he was doing, you know. And he had some in his presence. He said, you know, I know you think that you should be the one up here and that you should be the one, you know. And he said those things oftentimes. And he was reproving. Because when you have that kind of a thought, God can't use you. Because you're in his way already. Before you ever got started, you started out in his way. We want to have a confidence in Christ. Amen? We want to have confidence in him. None in the flesh. And I found in my own walk, in my own life, that many times, the times that we felt like we had more to offer the Lord is when we had nothing. Amen? But we need to be able to give him all. Amen? Let's pray together while we're standing. Most gracious Father, as we attempt, Lord God, to make a presentation of your word, Father God. Your word is so rich and pure and holy and godly and so rich in understanding and wisdom, Lord God. I find myself, Lord God, in my own self inadequate, Father, to bring forth anything to edify or exhort or to comfort people, Lord God. But Father, as I stand before you, Lord God, calling upon your help, this night, Lord, asking you to, Father, let me decrease, Father, and get out of the way, Lord. Don't let me be that stumbling block in the way, Almighty God. Father, let me submit and listen unto that still small voice of the living God. And Father, let me myself raise up my voice like a trumpet if so be necessary, Father, when made that connection into thy spirit world, Lord God. Help us. We ask you, Lord God, to help us. Father, the ones that would be here that are already filled up with their own inspirations and their own understandings, their own knowledge, their own revelations, their own self, Father, help them, Lord God, to condescend down for they could receive the word of God tonight, Father, when find that they're lacking, Father, in the spirit of revelation. Father, help them. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can all be seated this evening. ladies came in last night. They seemed to have a wonderful time there at Kairos, at the prison there. They seemed to be pretty encouraged about what they're doing. And I'm very encouraged. Anytime I see anybody making an effort to maybe help somebody to bring the gospel, to bring a word, to bring love, to bring truth, whatever way it can be, I'm always encouraged. Amen. So it's our obligation, we that are here at the home front, we may say, and our sisters, some of our wives and different things, so they're in the prison bringing forth the gospel and to bring it to women. Very appropriate, very fitting, and very right. Amen. And as they're doing this thing, we should have an urgency or an obligation in our hearts and our spirit to continue to pray and ask God to meet all the needs that these sisters and ladies have. And let's just keep them in prayer. Amen. I trust that they're going to have a successful time. You know, it's wonderful to put yourself in a position that the gifts of God could move through your life. And there's many Pentecostal people, many people professing Christianity that don't have the gifts in their life. There's many tongue talkers that say they got the gift of the Holy Ghost and it's not there. And they were trained that there was another vindication or manifestation or whatever to the Holy Ghost. And they, many times, I'm going to use a parallel to what I just said, because there's many people that feel like they're filled with the Holy Ghost and they're not. And it, sometimes it's made manifest later because they depart from you and go back in to the world. You know, and it said they were never of you. Well, you can never say a Holy Ghost filled person was never of you. That's impossible to say. Young people, and not just young people, people in general, they would say, well, I fell in love. I'm in love. And somebody with understanding could observe. And they may say, well, they're infatuated. Now, there's a difference. But an individual could be very infatuated with somebody, and it would appear to even show forth the fruit of what we'd say love. It would seem to look and very thing, but then yet when it comes under the true test, the love isn't there. Infatuation will fade away, or love will never. You understand there's a difference. But they're looking and observing. They're very difficult to tell apart. But there is a most definitely difference. Now the thing is that when we speak about the Holy Ghost, or people, you know, claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I know that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I've been involved in Pentecostal movement and realms and stuff for many years, not claiming to know everything then, but I am an observer. Ye that are spiritual, judge all things. You know, and I know I quoted this the other night and I've said it, but it's something that kind of just came a revelation to me. I've read it before, but it kind of opened up to me, where the Lord commended them in the church of Ephesus because that they tried or judged these lying apostles. They tried them, the apostles, and said and found them to be liars. Not talking about, we may not be talking about the 12 that Jesus chose. One of them was a devil. We all do know that. So maybe they were being tried, huh? But on the other hand, there's many, many ministries, many ministers, many things out there. In this day and hour, we're seeing such a falling away in a gross, gross way. I mean, I'm saying that we see so many things that are taking place that are considered to be religious or in the church or whatever. A little brother that's come here when he was a young man, about 17 years old, maybe 18, he came and fellowshiped with us. He made a run to Mexico with us. A fine young man. He called me and would counsel with me and talk with me and different things. And he had this girlfriend, and she was involved in what they call praise dance with a praise team, and worked with ministries and traveled around and doing these dances and things in church. And you say, what do you think about that, Rob? I think it's the most filthy, perverted, ungodly, sinful trash that ever presented itself in the house of God. I'm sorry. It is absolutely the biggest perversion ever. Now, if you want to go down here in town and rent a building and say we're doing ballerina or stuff, and hey, if that's what you're into and that's what you want to go watch, I ain't got no time for it. You know, people take their little daughters out there and put them in these little ballerina suits and they get them up there like that. And then they wonder why they turn off into whores. I had a man standing in my backyard over here in the back of my home crying. And he came to me and his little girl, he had her involved in this Russian clogging, I think they call it. You know, I've seen it done. You know, hey, it's impressive. I said, you need to get your little girl out of that. And he's like, what's wrong with you? Oh man, they really this and that. Well, just a few short years later, he's standing in my backyard getting ready to blow his own brains out after he killed the guy that his daughter's messing around with. He said, I'm going to kill him, and then I'm considering killing myself. I prayed with him. You know, but see, why couldn't he have listened when the little girl was young? Do you think that little girls just grow up and then all of a sudden, presto, they're dope addicts? No, it's the parents' ignorance that are making allowances for all these kind of perverted things when they're little children and wonder why they turn out. I had an individual say to me, a woman say one time, said, well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, to raise them up in the way that they go and they'll never depart. And he said, well, how come my kid is out there? I said, because you didn't raise them up the way the Bible says. You set them in front of television, in front of TV, and you stick them on Facebook and you let them read all the perversion and the filth and the slop and you wonder why you lose them. Come on now. And he said, that sounds a little strong, Brother Rob. I'm just getting started. Just getting warmed up. Amen. Now, but his little brother called me, and his wife's, or his fiance, was in this praise team. And I told him, I said, brother, I tried to be easy. I said, you know, that ain't right. Oh, but Brother Rob, you know, and man, this apostle that we're working with, man, he loves it. He wants her to go with him and travel, and he wants her there all the time. And I said, the man's a pervert, brother. I said, he ain't no apostle. I said, the man's a pervert. I was talking about his pastor. I said, he's nothing but a pervert. He said, you can't smite a pastor. He wasn't a pastor. He's a pervert, I said. Did you hear me? He's a pervert. A pervert. And I said, let me tell you something, brother. And then I went on, and this was a prophetic word. I know when the Spirit is speaking. And I said, brother, you keep on messing around. And I said, this guy is going to bust up your engagement. And he sure enough did. The guy called me up, tore up. What do you say to that? I could share testimony after testimony after testimony that people reject the Word of God. They reject it, and then they find the consequences of it. I could talk about Chris Solera when he was here. I gave him a prophetic word from God. I said, you go down there and do that. I said, I'm breaking fellowship with you. I'm removing your status as a minister in this church. And I said, furthermore, one of your daughters will be violated. And sure enough, it happened. Right in the men's restroom of the church. A violation, a little girl. He should have listened to what the preacher had to say. Are you saying, were you prepping us, Brother Rob, that maybe we should listen? Well, I can tell you what the word says. It says, take heed to what these things, at any time we do not let them slip. You know, and I stumble around, and yeah, I'm just like you. I'm a man. I got problems and shortcomings and failures, and I'm pressed on the same thing. But we have need, and we need to utilize the word, submit to the word, and hear the word, and be very cautious. And there's things that we seem to put out, seem to reject. And I watch things, brethren, as I'm speaking of observations, and I watch things. And there's things that are showing up, and they're showing up long before they manifest. You understand that? They're showing up, and if we learn to watch things by the mind and by the Spirit of God, we'll see the course of something on before it happens. I'm not talking about by discernment. Well, it is too by discernment, but I'm not saying so much in the perspective of a prophetic utterance or discernment or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge by looking at the pattern and watching the pattern of lives. There's certain people who keep following the same trend over and over and over and over again. I came into a man's house, it was early years of Christian Temple, I should say early weeks, early days maybe I could even say. We're just getting started here, and handful of people that were listening to Brother Pike and come out to the meetings and things. Brother Randy was in the very first meeting, and I went over to this one individual's house. And I'm sitting there, and you know, I'm encouraged. You know, I'm trying to gather people and need strength, need a brotherhood. I was like, Jesus, out looking, come on, let's go do something for God. I was doing the same thing. You know, come on, brethren, let's go do something for God. I need help. I'm drawing help. So I'm encouraged, and this man is, you know, there. And I've shared this with you, I know, but I'm going to say it again. And I'm sitting in this individual's living room, and he started crucifying the pastor. He was actually living with his property connected to the church. Probably look out his front door and look at the church. And the pastor's home, the parsonage of the pastor. And boy, he started crucifying this guy and just wearing him out and saying this and saying that. And I was sitting there like, you know, I'm listening to him. And the Lord said, that's going to be you soon. That's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, that's going to be you soon. Man, it tore me up. He was like, hey, man, praise God. Got a brother here going to help me, you know, build a church and this, that. And then here's the Lord speaking to me. He says, that's going to be you soon. Now, you know, why was it going to be me soon? You know, why was it going to be me? because that was the spirit that the brother had. And it was a pattern. And you would see it anywhere and everywhere he went. It was crucifixion after crucifixion after crucifixion. And when you've had a pattern of splitting churches, you've had a pattern of discord and strife, then what do we expect? We're still physicians. We look to help, to examine, to fix, to prepare, to repair, to mend, whatever it takes. This is what we do. We're children of God. We're servants of God. So we look at that. We expect people with complications and with problems. Amen. And we work with them and we try to help them. That's what we all do. So we all have opportunities as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God to do things. Speaking with an individual here as of recent, I listened to Brother Pete a few weeks back. He made some statements about some things. And sometimes we as Christian people, we do things out of a conformity of obedience. You know, when I came to Little Bethlehem, there was things that I'd never seen or never taught or never knew, but I conformed to it out of obedience. I did it because I didn't want to feel like I wasn't part of something. I did it because I didn't want to feel like I was offending others, but I didn't have the revelation of why I was doing it. I did it out of obedience. Not everybody wants to walk in obedience. Some people, you know, they want to feel like they have the liberties to do what they want to do, or they feel like, well, I don't have this conviction. So, you know, hey, that's your conviction. It's not my conviction. So I'm going to go ahead and do what I want. And I got many people sitting in here tonight that have, they don't have the same convictions I got, and they think they're permissible to make some of the allowances. But as Brother Pike said, he said, one day you're going to run into God like a she-bear robbed of her cubs. I'm visiting and talking with a man every day in prison. And this man said under those things here in the very same exhortations, he heard that very same thing quoted hundreds of times from Brother Pike's preaching. He said, one day you're going to run into a God. It's going to be like a she-bear robbed of her cubs. And I remember him saying this often. He'd say, you know, the grace of God's with you and you're just dancing in the grace, having a good time. But he said, one day the judgments is coming your way. And when it turns your way, he said, it's going to be just as slow to go back the other way as what it was. You think, boy, the grace of God been with me a long time. Well, I've watched this guy get beat in the prisons. He's still dealing with physical infirmities in his thing. And he's in there. They gave him 50 years. The highest sentence ever given for that kind of a crime. Never been one in the state of Georgia. Why? Because he ran into a God. He ran into a God like a she-bear robbed of its cubs. We need to listen and we need to take heed. And sometimes I find that preachers, you know, they get a word of exhortation and they don't receive it. They don't take it to heart. They don't listen. They don't examine themselves. I want you to open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy. I want to go over to the second chapter. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I hope the Word of God is rich to you, and I know it is to many. Sometimes we could read the Scriptures here and we just fly right through it. You know, we just go by it and don't think anything. You know, he's saying, exhort therefore, first of all, he's talking about the prayer, supplication, giving thanks, but he goes right into this. And he says, godliness and honesty, a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, if we would think about honesty, a lot of us would consider ourselves honest people. Now, if I said, hey, I want you to stand to your feet if you think you're a dishonest person. You know, we think of dishonest, we think of lying, you know, and many times. But dishonesty goes so much beyond that. You know that many times we're really dishonest to ourselves. And sometimes because it's such a pattern in our lives, we don't even recognize it or see it. I just like challenge you, make you think differently. Because a lot of times somebody say, are you a dishonest person? Say, oh, absolutely not. I'm not dishonest, Brother Rob. I'm not dishonest at all. But then yet we could be dishonest in another dimension that's the most important one. You know, do I have anybody blind in here tonight that doesn't have eyes to see? You all say, no, I'm looking at you. But then yet, if you look at it in another realm, you might find blindness. Now, if I said, do I have any drunks in here tonight? But then yet, I make statements like this. A little girl that's a virgin could go to hell for being a whore. And never, by physical standards of the medical practice, has never lost her virginity. And she burned in hell for all of eternity as a whore. Now listen to me. This is why I'm a teacher. Because see, we judge everything according to carnal concepts. So if I could tell you that a virgin girl or a virgin boy go to hell, and I could show you this in the Bible, for being a whore or a whoremonger, and then I could tell you at the same time that you could have never had a drop of alcohol in your bloodstream and never partook of whiskey, wine, beer, or any kind of liquor and burn in hell for being a drunk. Every theologian and every scholar would argue with me like that. But the Bible said, teaches us of being drunk on the cares of the world. Now, what are you going to do with that? Oh, I was drinking up the football team. I was drinking up the baseball team. I was drinking up the tiptoe ballerinas. I was drinking up, and you were so drunk in that. Now, what does drunkenness do to a natural man? Somebody tell me. It impairs their senses, right? It makes them do stupid stuff. I know that by experience. Amen. Brother Gilbert's got scars. Brother Bob raises his hands. You know, and I know many people that's been in jail, incarcerated. They've been in fights with their best friends, choked their wife, left their wives, kissed their girlfriend's dog, whatever. You know, they do stupid stuff. Joe, you ever done stupid stuff drunk? I heard about some of them things, but it's okay. You don't have to talk about it. I know what it is. I'm not sitting here preaching out of some learning. I'm preaching out of experience. But the thing is that if our senses are impaired, and the things that we do are impaired, then we're drunk. And we could be so drunk on this world and the flesh and the observation of the flesh, on the observation of our looks, on the observation of our money, on the observation of our businesses, on all these different things, that our senses are so impaired that we don't see God, we don't hear God, we don't know God. So when I say that you're drunk, you think, I ain't a drunk. So now we talk about honesty. Are we truly honest with ourselves? You know, you say, well, I know I love God. Well, my Bible says that if you love God, you keep His commandments. So if you don't keep His commandments, then we have to question your love. So maybe you're being dishonest with yourself. Now you see where I'm going? See, sometimes we read the scriptures and we look at the word. And I like to take the word at surface value and just read it. It could be very edifying. It could bring strength to us. But sometimes, brethren, we got to get into the meat of the word and dig into the scriptures and the word. We find people that they look at our doctrines. Hey, I went over here to the Baptist church, man, and man, they all stripped off, went to the swim park, you know, and did the water slides. They had a good time. They all love the Lord, man. They get together and go to church. They talk about Jesus, you know, and hey, it was great. You know, Brother Rob, you're against this dance team and this praise dance, man, and you say it ain't nothing but perversion. But boy, I went to one place, so beautiful, man. I felt the Spirit of God. Man, the anointing of God came down. I got the little chills in the back of my neck, and boy, I just tingled all over. And it was so beautiful. Hey, let me tell you something. Satan will entice you through the fleshly feelings. He'll move you. I heard Brother George speaking one time, and he made this statement. He said, a man gets so in his members so bad that he would literally eat the flesh of a woman. You know, that's pretty bad, ain't it? You say, well, Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. So maybe there's something to it, huh? You know, but I'm just saying that, you see, we got to learn to discern, understand what is moving us. What is making us? What's the thrill? What's the thrust? What's the motivation for what we do? Many times we could see people that would appear to be doing what would appear to be the right thing, but the motive behind it is wrong. You see, a man could come in and offer you a service, but his motive is to split your church or to take your church. You understand that? I've dealt with many ministers that had a proselyte spirit, many ministers that had that, and even evangelists that come. And they'll proselyte in just a second, and boy, they don't make no bones about it. And that's what their intentions are from the first time they walked in the door. You see, it's wrong. Their intentions sound good. Oh boy, they're going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach Jesus to you. You know, and I'm going to talk about the mysteries of God. But there's something laying in there. You see, this is why we got to learn to look beyond what we see. We've had a lot of messages on this, haven't we? We got to look beyond what's seen, and we got to see the unseen. Now the thing is you see a man that's a drunk, you judge him accordingly, and you say, well, I'm not going to get in the car and ride with him. But then yet you can have another man that would appear to be sober, naturally speaking, but be so impaired, drunk, that he can't do anything for God. He can't go in the grace and knowledge of God. He can't do anything spiritually speaking. You see, if a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, you know, it'll show up in his business. It'll show up as a laborer. It'll show up as an entrepreneur or a leader or a manager. It'll show up in his marriage. It'll show up in everything. You'll see it everywhere. It infiltrates every part of him. Now, if that's the truth for that one statement of thought about a double-minded man is unstable, well, how many other things are there that show up in all aspects of life that we are not sensitive to or about? I've ministered so many messages trying to get people to think beyond the five senses. I remember speaking about the nasal passages. You know, it's one of the five senses. And you know, people could be around an odor for a certain period of time and they don't smell it no more. It's not offensive to them. But somebody, you know, let's just use something as simple as smoking. A smoker don't walk around thinking, gosh, I smell like an ashtray. You know, he's not walking around conscious, man, I smell like an ashtray. It's not offensive to them. They don't smell it on their clothes. But it's offensive. But it isn't offensive to him. Now, you've heard these messages, and there's a purpose behind these kind of messages. Because sometimes we're around something for so long, and we're around these things for such a long period of time, that pretty soon we don't smell it no more. But it's a stench in the nostrils of God. So I use a natural thing of smoking. I could use a natural thing of BO. Come on now. How many have had friends that had bad BO? Come on now. You know, we come from the old animal nature. And you know, we're going to smell when we get out there working and sweating. I appreciate a man that stinks a little bit in the afternoon. It means he was out there trying to do something, amen. But don't show up in the morning. But you know, the guy shows up in the morning, don't smell it. Because it's his nature. He don't smell it. So we use that as an example. How many things are a stench in the nostrils of God that we've been around so long that we don't even recognize it or see it? Are we impaired in our senses? Could we be numbered with the ones drunk on the cares of the world? You see, and what happens is God said that he doesn't like this intermingling, or he doesn't like the lukewarmness. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. You know, he don't like the middle realm. So what can happen, and by the grace to be with you for a season, I can take you over and read to you Numbers where they found an individual that wasn't giving their increase to Moses, wasn't giving it to him. And the Lord, you know, questioned, he said, was this out of ignorance? Was he not learned? And we're going to show some grace. There's going to be an offering made, and there's going to be some things. But if it's not out of ignorance, there's going to be a strong price to pay. There was one man that was picking up some sticks on the Sabbath day. You know what they done with him? They took him outside, and they took the whole congregation, and they stoned him to death. Come on now. You've been picking up sticks on the Sabbath, Manny? Amen. That's pretty tight, ain't it? Come on now, think about a guy getting stoned to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. He said, well, thank God for Jesus, because I know they were walking through the field and they picked some corn and they've kind of fallen with it. I'm glad he done away with that. But my Bible says that he's the same to every generation. And so how am I going to apply some of those things over to this present day? When the Bible teaches us many things in this present day about seeking first the kingdom. You see, what is the first increase if we're going to look at that? You know, we talk and we teach and believe in tithing, yes. But what about more so than tithe? What about more so than money? If it's just about money and God just cares about 10%, I think every rich man would be given 10% to make it into the kingdom, huh? You know, it goes beyond that, brethren. What about 10% of our time? Could it be? Could God be requiring of those things of us? Or one of those? But we're looking beyond what we see. Trying to understand that the things that are seen, I say this often, Romans 1:20, for the unseen things of the spiritual world, they're revealed by things that appear. We see them, comprehend them, and understand them. What is that saying? Well, there's many things, brethren. If you see a man that's short-tempered and he's flaring up, pow, 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 flaring up all the time, what are we seeing there? Oh, we're seeing a guy with a short temper. No, we're seeing something of a spirit that's laying beyond the members there, or laying in the members there, I should say. And this thing is rising up, and we see it. We see the unseen thing. You say, well, this spirit of anger and this animosity is unseen. But is it? Not when it spews out. Not when it comes forth. It's not unseen, is it? So it's manifest. That's one simple way to understand that scripture. But then yet, it's going to go even further beyond that. When the Bible again teaches that these things would appear, you know, this whole world is a shadow of another spiritual world. And I could start breaking things down. I could talk about the president and the cabinet or the government or the Congress or the things like that. And I could start showing you an order of headship. And you think there's something like that in the kingdom of God? Well, sure there is. The Bible said you that are faithful over these little things, you'll make you rule over greater things. You know, and you might find yourself as a leader and a ruler through all of eternity. Do you realize that? You know, see, and the ideology of Christianity is, well, we're all born again, we get the same reward. Well, that's a lie. There ain't no Bible for that. We get the same reward of eternal life. That's what the 11th hour workers parable is talking about. They got the same reward of life, but there's greater rewards in the kingdom of God. You know, if we all got the same reward, then how come there's only 24 elders sitting around the throne? Come on now. So there's greater rewards in heaven. If the Bible says that we sow and we put things away in heavenly places and we put treasures there and we're storing these things up, so there's going to be some with more treasure than others. Would you agree with that? According to the Word of God, we've got to get some understanding. You know, we've got a welfare spiritual mentality. You know, in the welfare people, you know, it's like, oh man, yeah, just give this to me and give that to me. You know, and that's the way we are with God. Oh, just give it to me, Lord God. You know, here I am. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Do you think that he's going to just keep on? I know he's given us everything that pertains to life. He's already rewarded us with eternal life, and it's not by works. I understand that. But we're talking about storing things now. We're talking about heavenly things now. I'm not talking about your salvation. Your salvation was a free gift given to you, but the things that from then on out is something that we progress and work for and labor for and strive for. Now, the Bible says a greater damnation, and if that is a mirror or the reflection of the reward or the positive side of eternity, if there's a greater damnation, well, you know, hell's hell, you know. Well, I don't think so. I think there's going to be, as the Bible said, greater damnation. There's going to be people in a greater, more severity of eternal punishment and damnation. Look at the shadows. We're talking Romans 1:20. Look at the shadows now. What about in prison? You got some in minimum security prisons. They're still incarcerated, yes. They still don't have freedom, yes. They're there. And we got other ones in maximum security that can't even get out but 1 hour by federal law. They got to get out 1 hour a day to see daylight, to get out. And they won't let them be with anybody else. They got a cage that they can get outside and get. And then they put them right back. They never are in a room with anybody. Never. They could their food to them through a slot. Well, that's a little bit greater of a damnation, huh? A little bit of a more severe sentence for them. You know, there's a place in the scriptures where it talks about the woman being chained to a bed. Think about every filthy, perverted, unclean devil of this world that just goes and defiles. How would you like that for eternity for a lustful woman? You know, there's things to think about and to consider. We need to not try to read something in the Word that's not there, but we need to see beyond the veil. We need to see into the spiritual realm, into the mysteries, into the revealing, and into the revelation. And we'll start seeing things of what the Lord's speaking of. Well, I'm not guilty of murder. Have you read the New Testament? What you have to do to qualify to be a murderer? You have to take somebody's life, you say, to be a murderer. But then yet we can kill and put people to death. That's why God said he hates discord more than anything. I've been killed before, brethren. And when you say, what do you mean, Brother Rob? Well, the thing is, if I'm working with somebody and trying to help them to be a soul winner to them, to lead them out of the fire, and somebody through discord and strife and jealousy and hate, and because they're of the devil themselves, and they go and smite the shepherd. What does it mean, smite? Was Jesus smitten? We know he was. You smite him, you put that shepherd to death, and all of a sudden that man of God has no value. Now you killed him. And that individual's blood is who's going to be on your head. Because that individual might have been his salvation. You understand what I'm saying? But let's read on here. I haven't got to where I'm wanting to go yet. Verse 2 again says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This message might get really good here in a minute. We keep on going down in here, these scriptures. Hang on. This is time to fasten your Christian temple seatbelt. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. I'm going to say a real quick thing on verse 5 there. One God. And then it said the mediator was a man. You see that? Well, I know Jesus Christ was God. And I see, but you saw him in the manifestation as a man. And he was the mediator between the eternal God. Well, Jesus is the eternal God. I understand that. I know what I'm speaking about. When you get to a three-person God is what I'm really speaking against, since people just lack wisdom, revelation, and understanding. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. We don't want to be no doubting, do we? Anybody ever doubted before? How many times has God asked you to do something you doubted that you could do it? Come on now. Yes, I'll raise up both hands. I'm trying to get some humility in some of you. Yeah. You know, the thing is that, you know, doubt and unbelief is a destroyer of faith. It's the enemy of God. And when God speaks something to us, is he going to speak something to us that we can't do? Come on now. But we doubt. We let unbelief move in. And when unbelief moves in, what do? We fall. Pay attention now. I'm going on here just a little bit. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Well, what's your interpretation of that? My little pantsuit. I think that's modest. My little tank top with my boobs hanging out. I'm sorry I speak crude, but you know what? I'm sick of the promiscuous, provocative women that call themselves Christians. And they're tight fitting and tight form and things. So I just, you know, you want to look rough and act rough and be part of the world, I'll just come right down to your little level. Well, I don't think that's appropriate to say from the sacred desk. Well, I don't think it's appropriate for the whore to come to church with her filthy perversion and her tight fitting filth. So I just get right down to the road, don't I? You say, well, you need to love them, Brother Rob. I do. I'll love them so much, I'll preach that old devil off of them and get them set free and delivered. And you say, well, you can't talk to them like that and win them. I'm talking to you right now to make sure you keep your mind pure and clean and you don't let these things crawl in and pervert you. Now, we got young ladies in here that are lining up with me and trying to make an effort to line up with holiness in this church. But do they understand why? I'm going to present some questions to you that some of you are struggling with. I got people in here struggling right now with this. Well, what's wrong with wearing pants? Nothing. What's wrong with a man wearing a necktie? Nothing. What's wrong with a man growing whiskers and facial hair? Nothing. Then why do you make it a doctrine, Brother Rob? Why would you make it a doctrine? Why can't we just be relaxed like some of the other churches? You want to be like some of the other churches? If that's what you want to be like, that's what they're there for you can go be with them. But I'm going to keep serving the Lord. And they're making compromises and adaptions and changes, and there's consequences for that. Like I said, the guy in the prison that thought these things weren't necessary. Let me tell you something. Y'all have been exposed to a doctrine of revelation of Jesus Christ and holiness. And when you mess around with it, you'll get turned over to a reprobate mind, and you'll be so far exceedingly worse than these other people, because you got a greater accountability. There are women out there that love God, and I'll even go to the point of saying are filled with the Holy Ghost, that don't understand holiness, and they ain't dressed according to holiness, and they're walking to the best of their ability, and they might even have their pants on, okay? I believe that God could fill a woman with the Holy Ghost that's in pants. Now, you heard that right here, yes. Okay? But let me tell you, the Holy Ghost, she's filled with the leader to the truth. Amen? Now, I just made a statement. There's nothing wrong with pants. There's nothing wrong with beards. There's nothing wrong with short pants. There's nothing wrong with short sleeve shirts. There's nothing wrong with those things. Okay? They're not the things that's going to put you in hell. But what will put a person in hell? Not having God's Spirit. Now, when we have God's Spirit, it leads us into all truth. And the truth sets us free. Now, if somebody is messing around with these things, there's a problem somewhere. There is a problem. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It might be your communications. What does that mean, to corrupt good manners? What does corrupt mean to you? What happens when something is corrupt? Huh? Come on, think about it. So if evil communications corrupt good manners, where does evil communications come from? Faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. So where does evil communications come from? You know, we got to start making some evaluations and some things. Now, I'm going to go on to say that, you see, the Bible says, and I use this scripture so often, you hear it almost every service. I know I'm repetitious. But if eating meat offends my brother, not to eat it. Is there anything wrong with eating meat, brethren? No. Okay, well, thank you for that revelation, Pastor, because now I'm going to wear my pants, and I'm going to run around in my pants and my shorts, but I'll just, when I'm around people it's offensive to wear pants and shorts, I'll wear my dress. You think that's what I'm teaching you? I'm not teaching you to be hypocrites here. I'm teaching there's a reason why we do the things that we do. Now, I'm going to go to an example here, and you may not understand this. And you could make me wrong or you could make the man wrong. And I'm going to use some examples here. I made a phone call, and some of you, as soon as I say this, you're going to know right where I'm going, but I made a phone call to a man. I was going to look at a bus before I bought this one. The guy said, oh, I'm a minister. I'm an evangelist and a preacher. And I thought, well, praise God. Was you with me, John? Okay. So, you know, I'm, you know, driving my car. I'm going to look at a bus, man. Praise God. So I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to go meet this preacher. I was kind of excited just to go meet a preacher. So I pull up in the yard, and I get out, and here's a guy comes flying out the front door. Got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And I mean, he had the hairiest chest. I never seen a gorilla that hairy. Am I kidding, John? I mean, to tell you what, this dude was hairy. Had no shirt on. And I'm like, where's the preacher at? I seen a bus here in the driveway. They said a preacher lived here. Now, let me say something here. I know that I've come to a place in God that I can't be offended. If I am, I'm in trouble. But the thing is, I've got to analyze things because I judge all things because I'm spiritual. But you know, now let me ask you something. What if this guy would have walked out the door with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and his fur hanging out? Hey, dude, I'm available Wednesday night. You need a preacher? God, no, I sure don't. Well, what's the problem, Brother Rob? Are you the problem, Brother Rob? What's wrong with the guy? Brother Rob, he could come up here in his fur coat, and he could probably teach us something. He could bring us into some revelation. You know, we'll go find Baal's ass and let him talk to you, okay? If that's what you're looking for, okay? You know, that's what you need to do. But I'm trying to help you, but listen to me. You say, well, preacher, you got a problem. That shouldn't be offensive to you. Okay, let's analyze that kind of a statement. So let's make it my problem, all right? So let's go to the Word of God for a moment. The thing is, the Bible again says, if eating meat offends my brother, for me not to eat it. So then if I am offended by this, then is it my problem or is it his problem? Come on now, I want you to think about this. Now the Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. I'm going to share another story with you. A Christian woman, she was on the internet, social puke site, blog site, and she was talking about two of her daughters coming over. Now, I'm going to expose some Christianity here for a moment. And she's on this blog site talking about her little 5 or 6 year old daughter is really excited because her little girlfriends are going to get to come home and spend an afternoon with them after school. You know, and the mother's excited about this, the little girl's excited about this, but the mothers of the little girls that are coming over to this house want to meet mama first. Hey, I think that's wisdom. I'm not going to leave my little children or grandchildren over somebody's house and I don't know. So these two mothers of these other two children, they show up and they're going to have coffee. So they sit down over at the dining table to have coffee. Everything's going pretty good. Everything's going pretty swell. And everything, well, this mother has a sweater on. And she peels the sweater off. And she's full-sleeved with tattoos on her arms. Oh, I'm meddling here a little bit, I know. And this woman, this is a Christian woman now, the one that's tattooed up, professing Christian woman. So now here goes the rest of this thread line in this blog. Let me tell you what she said. She said, you know, these ladies that came over were totally fine and everything was fine. But I took off my sweater, God forbid. This is where she started mocking. I took off my sweater, God forbid. And now all of a sudden I become this hideous, blood-sucking martyr. And these women drawed back from me. Well, they think I'm going to cut their children up and eat them because I got tattoos. And then all these other people that call themselves Christians jump in on this site. And I like this. And oh yeah, you know, that's a bunch of ignorance. Man, they're self-righteous bunch of hypocrites and us and us. Well, where do you stand with that? Let me tell you something. The woman that was marked up, if she got marked up while she was in a heathen in the world, that's one thing. But she should have kept her sweater on. Come on now. If she had been born again and become a Christian, she said, I'm wrong because I offended these people. So is tattoos wrong? Absolutely not. Is it wrong for me to have them? If it offends people, it's 100% wrong. I'm a soul winner. You understand? So you don't think there's nothing wrong with tattoos? Is that what you're saying, Brother Rob? It's wrong to offend people. I don't have them. I'll never have them. I don't desire them. I don't want them. Matter of fact, it's just a manifestation of stupidity. Come on now. I know I got plenty of you in here with tattoos. Some of them, I'm sorry if you're offended. Just get over it. Well, Brother Rob, you're preaching about not offending people if you're offending people. The Bible says a wise man hears the end of the matter. I got people that are dear to me, I love, that have tattoos. My enemy isn't the tattoos, it's the spirit and the mind that made them get it. I saw a little gal the other day. I was over in Arkansas. And I don't know what it said, but it looked like somebody took a black pen and just started writing across the back of her neck right here and going down. You know, and let me tell you about Brother Rob first, for nobody will be offended here. I got some poor penmanship. I'm not very good at writing. I just, you know, I mean, I get it down there and you might have to look at it for a minute. You know, you heard a chicken scratch. But I looked at this, I'm thinking, my God, here's this little girl. She's going to go and let some filthy scumbag pervert write on her that's there for the rest of her life, and he don't even have good penmanship. I mean, it was the sloppiest looking mess I ever seen. I wouldn't let the scumbag touch me, let alone write on me. Oh, it might have been a decent guy. There ain't no such thing as a decent man in a tattoo shop marking people. You just listen to that. Well, I know one that's a Christian. That's a lie from hell. Ain't no Christian ever going to get involved in that filthy stuff. That's your compromised world that we're living in. That's why America's going to hell. That's why America's failing. That's why we got the Hamas marching our streets in Florida and Chicago screaming out chants and things. It's because America's failed. And you say, well, preacher, wait a minute. You know, we're reading here in the scriptures about, you know, of trying to get a revelation and understanding. That's what I'm trying to bring you to. I know I get a little strong and I say things. I purposely say things to cut some because they're blind and they're ignorant. You say, what makes you think you're right? Well, let me ask you, what makes you think you're right? Only thing that's being weighed out is your soul. Come on now. Like I said, I've gone to the airport with people making trips out of the country, and I see them more concerned about their itinerary, their flight itinerary, and the gates and stuff, and their passports, and their fees and stuff, and they're just frantic. But when it comes to making it into the kingdom, they just skip on through this world as lascivious and lighthearted and as ignorant as could be. And act like they don't care. And then they want to challenge a preacher and think, well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with that, man. That's what I got the right to do. That. Yeah, you got the right to do what you want to do. We're in a dispensation of grace. But don't forget the God that's the same to every generation that took the children of Israel and stoned a man for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Don't forget he's the same God. You're just in a dispensation of grace right now and he's being merciful to you. But he's about ready to rip your stinking head off your shoulders. And you know what he's going to do after he does that? He's going to laugh. That's what the Bible says. Oh, God is love. Well, he's going to laugh when he rips your head off. He said, I'll tear you into pieces. That's what he said. Anybody read that in the Bible? And he said, he'll laugh at your calamity. Oh, that just don't sound right. Don't sound like the God I want to serve. I'm trying to teach you how to serve that kind of God. Because you don't want to find that side of him. You want to find the side where he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in. That's the side we want to find. But let me tell you something. There's a judgment side of God. He said that he's angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. When Esau was in his mother's belly, he hadn't even been born yet, never had breath in his lungs. And he said he hated him because he's a God that saw through the foreknowledge of the things that Esau done. You understand that? We need to fear God. That brings wisdom. We need to love God. Brings understanding. In like manner also the women adorned themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold, pearls, or costly array. We're in the New Testament here. What is all this saying? You go into the scriptures and you read about things God doesn't like. How about that? He said he doesn't like a woman with her mincing feet. What does that mean? Well, I'm not too feminine, but it's when they walk and shake that old hind end. And boy, and they're swaying, huh? Come on, I can't do it. You know, I could watch it like a macho guy. Joey, come up here and show us how a woman walks. Never mind, brother. I don't want to see it. Come on. I don't want to see it. But God hates that. I was sitting in my home, and my daughter went lollygagging or whatever across the floor, and I said, young lady. And she looked at me and said, don't walk like that. She'd been watching too many videos and seen the Hollywood women with their walk and their sway. I watched it from a little girl that learned to, you know, with baby talk and a little cute smile and all those things, learned that she could manipulate men and persuade men. You see, with the feminine, you know, women learn to do that. You know, but they, you know, little babies, we laugh about it. You know, and we think it's cute and we think it's funny, but they turn into whores. You see, we need to be cautious. We need to be careful. And we go through life so lascivious and so light and just, oh, everything's okay. Praise God. God is good. God is kind. But we don't realize what we're doing and what we're raising. And we're killing. I told you I had a vision of a parent with the blood of his children dripping off their hands. And they love their children. They would never want to do anything. But they just are blind and they don't see. They don't see what they're doing and they're killing. They're absolutely destroying and killing. You know, we need to have the fear of God. Okay, let's go on here. They adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Let me tell you something, Christian sisters. We need to take a lesson from the Muslims. And maybe we ought to start wearing a little veil over our faces and show a little bit of shamefacedness. But God cannot stand a forward woman. You understand that? That's why it said a woman can't usurp authority over a man. When it goes on to teach that a woman can't even teach a man. They can't teach a man. Oh boy, that's going to go over great in America today. Come on now. I tell you, I'm not looking for popularity here. I'm looking for the word of God, brethren. And I see my country failing. I see the church failing and people failing. Somebody better start identifying why. You think we ought to get a head covering and cover? I say it would be better than being forward. It would be better when a woman gets in your face. A woman needs to check her gaze and the way she looks. She doesn't even need to really make eye contact with a man for too long of a period of time. Things happen with eye contact. Come on now. You're going overboard here, preacher. Well, then you tell me what shamefacedness means. I'm reading the Bible to you. This isn't my doctrine or my ideology or my belief. It's the word of God. And the Bible said, let this word be true and every man be a liar. That's what the Bible says. But we got women running the country. We got women in Congress. We got women preachers and mayors and all kinds of things. And you know what it is in the mind of God? It's a stench in his nostrils. Well, I know a good woman pastor. Well, good. Praise God. Go sit under. Let me tell you, there's some very powerful and anointed women. Women that labored with Paul in the gospel. He said, greet my women workers. We got women right now in the prison taking the gospel to other women. There's a proper place for a woman and a godly place for a woman, but it isn't to teach her a sub authority over men. You understand that? Well, how'd you get that out of shamefacedness and sobriety? What is sobriety? What's the opposite of sobriety? What's the opposite of being sober-minded? What's the opposite of being grave? See, these are things that the Bible teaches us, but we seem to walk away from it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. This is what happens with intermingling, evil communications. We get out here and we're intermingling with this and intermingling with that and intermingling with this and intermingling with that. And we're visiting over here and we visit over there and we're visiting over here. And you know what? We become a whore. Come on now. Well, you can't call me a whore. I started out this service. I said you could die and go to hell as a whore and be a virgin. He said to Israel, you've committed adultery under every green tree. They committed adultery. Friendship. My Bible teaches this. Friendship. Friendship with this world. Friendship with this world is adultery. And I can show you in the Bible that the Bible says that there's not going to be any adulterer that makes it into the kingdom of God. So you see, you need to change the way you identify things. Jesus said, a man look upon a woman, he committeth adultery with her. By looking upon her. This is why a woman's got to be careful with her gaze and what she's looking at. And how she's the weaker vessel. I'm going to go back to verse 9. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So we got these, they're going to interpret that. Well, I think it's very modest, you know. I mean, let me tell you, there's some of them pantsuits that women wear are more modest than some of the tight form-fitting dresses that others wear. So what are you going to say to that? I'm going to keep things decent and in order. The Bible teaches that it's an abomination. Oh, that's Old Testament. Well, praise God, there's many things carried over from the Old Testament, brethren. God's the same to every generation. But it said it's an abomination for a woman to wear man's apparel. And I've seen them go slap, you know, out of reason with it. You know, that a woman couldn't wear undergarments because of that, if you're going to use that scripture. You know, well, let them reason with the word the way they want to reason. But it's ignorance. We need to stay with the word and we need to get some understanding of why we do the things that we do. Brethren, there are people that could receive from a hairy-chested preacher with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and he might be able to help some. But you know what? There's going to be many that have some understanding that think, well, how can you help me, sir, if you can't get delivered from that stinking smoking? How can you talk to me about Jesus and salvation when you smell like hell? I said it again, I know. That's what they smell like, ain't it? You know what hell smells like? I don't think it smells good. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. But the thing is, you know, the Bible says, ye that win souls are wise. What is that trying to say to us? We're going to use wisdom and we're going to remove these things. When you hear somebody say, I don't care what they think. I don't care what they think. That person, listen closely to me, is lost. Because I care what people think because I'm trying to reach them. That's what I care about. Well, you don't preach like it. When you hear me preach like that, I'm smiting devils. But when it comes to a sinner, a heathen, a pervert, a sodomite, a whore, I'll love them. I'll help them. I'll embrace them. I'll open up my doors to them and help them. But I'm talking about these religious perverts that want to defy the word of God. And they want to sit there and tell you that they're a Christian and continue on in their filth. That's a perversion. The Bible said they'd be better off. It said being cold. Well, you know, I guess maybe I ought to just leave the church and get back out there in the world and get cold. Too late. You can never be cold again. You done heard too much gospel. It's impossible for you to be cold. You're going to be vomit on the table of God. You need to get hot for Jesus. Get on fire for him. Amen. You hear a guy say, man, I got the hots for that guy. You better get the hots for Jesus. You understand that? And let him heat this man up a little bit and get in the spirit with the Lord God. Amen? Shamefaced sobriety, not with braided hair. Well, man, you know, I know some of the sisters, you know, braid their hair, Brother Rob, as this is what it's saying, or gold or pearls or costly array. There's some churches, brethren. I had a woman that met me over here when we was on Green Oak. And she said, I knew that preacher didn't have a Holy Ghost. And the reason she said it, because I was wearing a ring and I had a watch on. No Holy Ghost preacher is going to do that. Well, I'm wrong. I offended this woman. But at the very same time that this woman saying that to me, she was sleeping with another man. And her husband was a preacher and he was sleeping with another woman. And here she was using that kind of a thought against me. But still, I say, I'm wrong. Well, why do you still wear them, Brother Rob? Well, I'm so good looking that if I don't have this ring on, the girls will be flocking after me all the time. So I got to wear a wedding ring. And then I got to know what time it is before I get home in time. My wife won't be upset with me. I got a good marriage. Yeah. Boy, you reasoned that one out, didn't you, Brother Rob, huh? Same way you do about your drinking and snorting and smoking and lying and cheating and cussing. Okay, sorry. Y'all love me, don't you? Amen. At least you're smiling. Let me tell you something. When we think of shamefacedness and sobriety and being grave, there shouldn't be anything to project something. Do you realize a man will come to some holiness understanding, he'll call himself a Pentecostal holiness, and he'll look at his wife and say, "Honey, you ain't going to be wearing that big old bright bumper red lipstick. Ain't going to happen. You ain't going to be putting that paint on your face and then powder on your face. You ain't going to be wearing them eyeliners and stuff." If women realized how ignorant it made them look anyway, I think they'd quit doing it, but they're blinded by this stinking Hollywood. That's all they're blinded by. You know, well, I know a preacher said if the old barn needs paint, to paint it. Well, go work with that preacher. He's a pervert anyway. The thing is that women don't need that stuff. It makes them look stupid. Why would you want to put something on your eyelashes to make it look like they got to go get biceps, man, to open and close? Come on now. They're so heavy looking. I mean, it's stupid. You know, it's like I said, I'd like to find one of these ladies with them big old bright stinking bumper red lips. Brother Pike said it had to do with the blood-sucking martyrs. They got the blood of the martyrs on their lips. But you know, they got these big bright lips and they want to praise God with them big old red bumpers. I would like to go out into their Cadillac or their Mercedes. It's so pretty and perfect. They had, you know, Freddie polish it just right, got the wheels shining up looking. I'd love to just take a big can of red spray paint, paint the front bumper bright red. They ain't gonna like it, are they? Would a nice, pretty gold Cadillac or black Rolls Royce or something look good with a big red front bumper? Well, then why does a woman look good with a big old bumper? Huh? I'm asking you. I'm just, you know, why does it look good for somebody to scribble on the back of somebody's neck and they got stuck with it? I seen a lady today, Chuck, and I went to lunch. I said, "Chuck, what is that?" She had this writing back here behind her ear, all back in here, big old this, not writing this thing. I go, "What is that?" And we looked and we couldn't figure out what it was. Well, who wants to put something back there? Nobody knows what it is. You know, it looked like a Christmas tree or a something, you know, like, "Oh yeah, I want one right here." I mean, where's their mind at? I'm going to quit meddling. I know I've done messed up real bad already, but let me quit meddling for a minute and let's finish up here a little bit. Well, what's wrong with the writing on the back of the neck and stuff? It's not biblical. But there's a reason they do it. There's a purpose that they do it. The same purpose. The thing is, there's nothing wrong with facial hair on a man. Ain't a thing wrong with it. Then why don't you allow your brother to practice hair? I might allow my brother to do whatever, but they're going to be part of what we're doing. They're not going to do it because we don't project those things. We stay away from those things. Well, what's wrong with it? Jesus had a beard. He also died on a cross and he resurrected in another form. They didn't recognize him. It's like one kid told his son to get a haircut. He said, "Well, Jesus had long hair." The kid wanted a car. He said he walked everywhere he went too. Come on now. But now here's the thing. I hear these men that come to holiness and they get on their wife. "You ain't going to wear the powder. You ain't going to wear the paint. You ain't going to wear the makeup." And boy, they'll stand in front of the mirror. Boy, ooh, man. "Boy, looking good. So I've got my little goatee." It's a goatee for goats. But I'm sorry, Joe. I know you don't. I love you, brother. I'm not wearing you out. Don't be offended. I'm just talking about understanding. You just come here and you don't understand all these things. But there's a reason. But they'll sit in front of the mirror and shave that thing and trim and pluck and do all this stuff. And, you know, put some makeup on, dude. Come on. Go get your chin tattooed up, man. You don't have to trim it, man. You could get it perfect, man, and just leave it on there all the time. What's the difference? I'm asking you. If it's okay for a man to wear his goatees and all these kind of things and do it, why are they doing it? Well, most of the sports guys are. Why are these kids getting tattoos today? Because most of the sports people are. And what they're doing is they're followers. They're not leaders, they're followers. And they're following this wide, broad path of destruction. And God has these parallels and patterns and dimensions that we can understand who's on them. The Bible talks about the mark of the beast. Oh, a mark of the beast. So why would all these people be marking themselves up? Maybe they're beast. You ever consider that? If we're going to refrain from allegories, whiskers show a hairy man. Esau was a hairy man. Jacob was a smooth man. So there's a pattern if we want to watch patterns. You understand that? Now see, I don't go beat people over the head for whiskers and things, but I'm trying to teach you some understanding tonight that you can understand why we do some of the things that we do and refrain from some of the things that we do. There's things that because of the mind could be offensive and you can't get past that. And let me tell you, we could talk about some old timers that weren't even Christians. I'll just tell you the way my father is, okay? And he's got lots of problems. But to him, a beard is filthy. I'm just telling you, that's the way the old man thinks. It's not my thoughts. Come on, man. No, I'm just telling you what he thinks. He just thinks a man with a beard is unclean. He's always thought that. I'm talking about a long time. You should have seen when I grew my hair long in the 60s and 70s. He didn't like it at all. Matter of fact, he was going to cut my hair with 10 snips. Okay, but let's stay with some scripture for a moment. I'm going to finish this chapter out. But I'm trying to bring you to understanding. You know, a man that's doing this facial thing and doing all this trim and all kinds of stuff, he's projecting his image. Masculinity. Come on, that's what they do. They're projecting something. Now, you know, the thing is, you say, well, I don't see everything that way. I know that's why the Bible said that some don't have eyes to see. We're trying to teach you why we do things in the Spirit, for we can win people into the kingdom of God. I don't look down on people with whiskers. I don't look down on women with pants. I don't look down on these people and think I'm better than them. I'm talking to a team of soul winners in here, and we are a body of believers that's trying to hold a pattern and an example because we see it failing everywhere else we look. Everybody's compromising, everybody's making allowances for everything, and it's all turned into a slop hole because there's no standards. Let me tell you something. You'll find anything that's got anything decent, it's going to have a standard and a respect, but the barriers and everything are gone. So I'm teaching you why we hold these things. Well, I don't think it's necessary. Well, you do it your way, and I'm going to keep on preaching it this way, okay? Because I'm seeing the failure and the failures of people and things because they don't understand. So again, I'm going to say, if the paint and the powder and the beards and the mustaches and the earrings and stuff, if there ain't nothing wrong with it, then why do we refrain from it? Because just like I said, the woman that was married to a Pentecostal whoremonger said, I couldn't have the Holy Ghost. So we try to keep ourselves in a place that we could bring the word forth and try to eliminate some of those complications and some of those problems. Now, the thing is, I teach the sisters up here. I don't like necklaces when they're big and gaudy because it's making a statement. A woman could wear a little necklace and keep it maybe tucked in or whatever, and it's not making a big, loud statement. It's not something that grabs you in the face, you know, when they walk in the presence. See, they're supposed to be shaming. They shouldn't be projected. They shouldn't be forward. They shouldn't be promoting promiscuous things. Women just spend too much time. Now, listen close. Women need to fix themselves up, okay? I don't want to walk around with a woman with dog breath because she didn't brush her teeth. Come on now. I don't want to walk around with a woman look like she, you know, just rolled out of the house from in front of a fan blowing her hair back and look like a freak. I mean, fix your hair. Be modest. Be godly. Be virtuous. Be righteous. You know, keep your clothes clean. You know, press them, iron them. Keep yourself presentable. That's what we should do, men alike. But what I'm saying is that, you know, when you say, hey, honey, we got to go to town and get something to eat, and you tell them that at 6:30 in the morning for they'll be ready by lunch, you know, in there. When you put all this jewelry on, paint yourself up, got Christmas ornaments hanging from your ears and stuff, I'm just going to tell you what somebody with reason and understanding, you look like a stinking freak. Okay, but let's remove that thought. That was just my thoughts, okay? I'm confessing. But let's go to the Bible. What is it projecting? There's a reason they do that. In the Bible, they would take the slaves over to the doorpost. The Bible tells you very clearly that. And they would drive an awl through their ear. Why? Because they were in bondage and they were servants. You understand that? And this is why God allows some of these things, because we were serving a God that we watch patterns and allegories and learn to see the unseen things through the things which are seen. So many times you find them wearing the earrings and these kind of things because they're servants, enslaved to the flesh and to this world. Okay, so we understand this and been trained and taught and indoctrinated through the Word of God and through the revelation of the Lord to see these things, and that's why we stay away from them. You see, we've sat under a pastor for many years that said the loud pipes on your truck mean you're a loud mouth. And he said when your jacket way up high, it's because you're high and lifted up. And when you put all this stuff on, and he had a pattern for every single thing we do, so we started refraining. We started pulling away from some of those things because we were taught that this hairy man had to do with Esau. We don't want to be known to, so we started staying away from those things. Now, we got to be careful how we present these to the people in the world. It's like Brother Joey here. I said, I know he doesn't understand what our doctrines are or why we believe the things that we do, but we stay away from things for we don't bring a reproach. Brother Pike wouldn't wear black shoes because he said it showed his soul being wrapped in darkness. You think, well, he just went slap overboard. He made it into the kingdom. He brought revelation because he sacrificed and stayed away from the world and he understood. When the Bible talked about allegories and types and shadows, the man understood it. And he went into depths of revelation. And people are martyring him today. Well, you say he's already gone. They're killing the word. They're finding fault with him. And they're smiting him on a daily basis, even his own family. You see, this is why we're talking about these things. We got to get a revelation of why we're doing what we're doing. We need to understand this, young people. And we need to refrain from the things. You see, there's a worldly mind in social media. I read some of the same blog sites, see some of the things that some of you are eating from. And it alarms me because I find lasciviousness and lighthearted. And I find things getting loose. And it's because of what we eat. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, I know a good Christian woman. Man, she's the finest woman. Prays and everything. And man, she wears tight-fitting jeans, Brother Rob. I'll go marry her. I'm going to find something godly and walking in the spirit of love and projecting itself as a godly, modest woman in modest apparel. Amen. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Find a woman under subjection today. Man, I don't have time to go into that. It's going to really upset you. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Are we going to separate these two things? Teach nor usurp authority. Come on now. I sat under a woman teacher one time in Assembly of God Church. Taught Sunday school. Man, I learned a lot from her. Well, what's wrong with the woman teacher? Well, let me go right down here and I'm going to tell you. But to be in silence. For Adam was first formed than Eve. I'm going to answer your question right here. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. There's your good enough reason right there. Come on now. You want me to take you back over to Genesis? We can go over to Genesis and we can find out why the curse came to mankind. Well, Brother Rob, you just can't put all the sisters in hell. I didn't do that. I'm telling you, we got to understand why they were made lesser and why they were weaker. So for we masculine men, shut up, woman! I'm the boss of this house! I'm the head of this house! Shut your mouth! You're a beast. I wish the woman would jump up and slap the fire out of you, honestly. I'd buy her the ball bat. We got Christian temple bats, 30 inches long. Aluminum. Boy, they really been good, son. I'd like to see him put that dude underneath the quilt, man, and go to hammering until she sees red. What kind of preacher are you? I'm just helping. I'm working with you. I'm just trying to express my own ignorant way that I just don't like that. You know, I don't like those things. It's demon spirits. They think they got the revelation of the Lord. Oh, I'm the man. Shut up, woman. A woman is a virtuous, righteous thing, brethren. Something to cherish, something to love, something to take care of. She's not supposed to be a supplant authority over a man, but she needs a husband that's a man that'll love her and lead her and take care of her and watch over her. And if she falls, don't step on her and use her for a stepping block to show your masculinity. Reach down and love her and pick her up and help her. When she falls, it's your fault, my friend, my brother. It's your fault because you weren't leading them and you weren't teaching them. You understand that? And when your woman falls and it makes you think that you're better or that you're something because she fell and it's your fault. It's your fault they fall. We're supposed to be men. We're supposed to be leading, loving, cherishing, and taking care of. They're weaker. They're a weaker vessel. It's easier for Satan to deceive a woman than it is a man. Well, I know many men that are deceived. Well, I do too, but it's easier for the woman. The poor woman's going to marry the ignorant sucker. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. I've taught on that. So God was so sick of you, little sister, that he saved you for childbearing. Boy, Brother Rob, come on, don't go there, man. Now, if you've heard me go into the Revelation, I talk about me being the bride of Christ. God repented that he made man. So everything that I'm thinking in my masculinity, my macho-ness, I'm applying towards my wife or towards the sisters, I'm applying it to me. Because the flesh is what's feminine. The flesh is what's deceived. The flesh is what's weak. And I got to approach God as a man in the same way. I'm the weaker. I'm not a supreme authority over you, Lord God. I'm not going to teach you nothing, Lord God. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, Lord God. Here I am, your servant, Lord God. Use me, Lord God. Take me where you want me to go. Take me. I'm here for you, Lord God. I don't wake up and say, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be listening submissively. And when you see a woman a supplant authority over the man, it's because there's a demon there. Because a woman won't do that. A man won't a supplant authority over God until there's a demon there. If a man thinks he's greater than the woman, and he's abusive to the woman in his masculinity, and he's got that caveman ideology, you know, shut up, woman, ugh. You know, this is what God's doing to him. And this is why you find men most miserable. Because they feel like this with God. And they do that with their wife, but God's only doing it to them. Draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. Okay? You know, these are things, you know, we say, well, the golden rule, you know, do unto others as we'd have them to do. So do unto others that you want God to do to you. If I'm cruel and mean and things, what am I going to expect to happen with me? Do you realize the control and authority we have over the kingdom of God? Do you realize, you know, when the scripture, you know, command thou me, when the Lord's saying it, how do I command God? I'm just nothing but a mere man. How am I going to command God? By me loving and cherishing and taking care of my wife, I'm commanding him to do the same for me. Do you realize that? And in people that you see them, they're in a wilderness all the time, all these problems, it's because they did not treat a wife. Now, I could show you in the Bible, when a man mistreats his wife, that his prayers are not heard. That's a scripture. When a man mistreats his wife, his prayers are not heard. He's praying in vain. Oh, Heavenly Father! Oh, Lord God! I need this! But he's abusive. His prayers aren't heard! God's ears are shut. They're closed. I can't hear you, my friend. I don't care what you got to say. Because he isn't loving his wife. Chuck, put that scripture on the board. Whatever. You know the scripture? You know where it's at? I just like to put the word up there. And likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Why did they have to add the last part of that thing? Can we just move the period back over here? You know, amen? Ain't that the way people do the word sometimes? Many times people come quote the Bible to you. Well, the Bible says thus, thus, thus. Well, yeah, don't forget the rest of that verse. You know. Now, let me say some things. I know I got a little lighthearted, maybe one might say, or foolish. I'm sorry. I don't want to ever do that. I don't mind mocking a devil up here. I guess I observe things different than you do. You're looking at a chick, okay, I don't know what you guys call them. You figure out your name. I don't know these kids' term, but they're checking out, going, "Woo, she's looking good." And I'm looking, I say, "That's an ignorant little sucker right there." You know, it's like, you know, your lights come on, your switches are all going in the right direction, man, and this little gal's got you by hook. You know, the Bible said, "Silly woman, laden with lust, subverting whole households." Okay, so now I got it biblically correct. Okay. But still, what is a subverted, you know, subverting a household? What is this kind of woman is this? Come on now. You know, silly women laden with lust. What are we talking about? We're talking about whores and sluts and harlots. Now, if Jesus said they've committed adultery under every green tree and committed whoredom, what commits whoredom? Whores do. Now, the thing is, like I said, a little girl could be a virgin and be cast into hell for being a harlot. because we're looking at things by another dimension. I'm not trying to add or take away from the Word. I took you to the Word. In the quotes, Jesus said, a man look upon a woman and lust after he's committed adultery already. Do you think that adultery that he's talking about would keep a person out of the kingdom of God? When he said no adulterers, are you going to go and ask him for an explanation of that? Oh, were you talking about physical adultery, Lord Jesus? Were you talking about a man going into a relationship with another woman? Is that what you're talking about? You ain't going to get that chance. He's going to say, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, and depart from me. I'm telling you that he says he'll give us the fruit of our thoughts, not of our doings, the fruit of our thoughts. And he says to cast down these vain imaginations. And these are things, and we got to learn to get our thought life in order and in control. And when our thought life is out of order and we're eating from too many things, it's going to show up in our lives. It's going to show up in our actions. It's going to show up in our dress. It's going to show up in our face. It's going to show up in our hair. It's going to show up all over us. And when you get too promiscuous and you want to be projecting and you want to project your image, your shape, your figure, man, woman alike, you know, when you're a masculine man and, you know, you're walking like that, I want to just say, Lord, can I set the Holy Ghost over here? I'd like to knock the slop out of him. I'm sorry. See, I'd won the flesh again. I'd done it again. Oh, God, I'm going to have to surrender. But I'm talking about, I'm using a fleshly animosity there, a fleshly aggravation. You know, but, you know, I go into the prisons and I see these guys. You know, and some of them, boy, they're just, you know, hey, man, you know. And it's like, dude, come on. You ain't nothing but a little sissy queer. That's all you are. Well, preacher, you ain't supposed to talk like that. Why, you do. Come on now. What am I supposed to be if you're going to analyze me and tell me what I'm supposed to be like? Why can you do that? They might slap some sense into you. It won't be the first time. I've had all kinds of sin slapped into me. We need to understand why we believe what we believe. We can't offend one of God's children, brethren. You realize that? And when they're offended, they need to check up in the Word and find out why. But then yet I'm teaching most of this on about offending others. Then what are you doing? Because the world are the people that are offended. When you find yourself easily offended, just remember one thing, you're of the world. And you need to get out of the world and get out of the world mind. When this kind of preaching offends you, when I'm speaking about the promiscuous, the woman, their looseness, the man, their masculinity, and you're offended in this message, you're of the father, the devil, according to my Bible. This is why they don't like this preaching in churches. You know why? Because the pastors are full of the devil. The Bible says in this end time, it said, you know, that it talks about Satan's ministers, the ministers of Satan. That's what the Bible says. You can read it right in the New Testament. Ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light. They're deceiving this nation and this world. You know, the danger in our nation, brethren, is coming from the churches. And we're just about in a country right now that hates Jesus so much. And they're trying to stop his name and everything about him anywhere and everywhere. But we can talk about Allah, we could talk about Buddha, we could talk about the Muslims, we could talk about Hamas and ISIS, we could talk about them on the campus and do things that they could chant against our God and do their things openly, and we can't even open our mouth about Jesus. Shame on the Christian communities. Shame on these perverted preachers. Shame on these hirelings that went to theology school and learn to be a pervert just like their forerunners. Shame on them. Brethren, we need to find out where we're at and why we're standing on what we're standing, and quit trying to alter our church, and quit trying to alter our ideology, and quit trying to alter our thinking into this 2010 religion. They've taken and they've got all these modifications for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They got all these modifications for the requirements of a deacon or for an elder. And they've removed what the Bible says that they must be. And all these things, and everything is just getting removed and relaxed and washed down. We're a small flock, brethren. We're a little flock. I'm talking about outside these walls. It's a little flock. The Bible said that the righteous now, the righteous scarcely make it. This is what God said. He said, I've taken my only begotten son and I took him to a cross and I beat him beyond recognition. Jesus was beat so bad. Not like the Catholic Church has got him there on a cross. That's not what happened. They beat him beyond recognition. They plowed his back, ripped it to pieces. The cat of nine tails with the glass and the lead and the steel and things. And when they'd rip it off, it opened his flesh up. And when they grabbed them thorns, put it over his head. I've been over there in Israel and I saw those thorns that grow on them thorn trees. And I'll guarantee you they jammed it over his skull and ripped it all the way down to the bone. And the blood was flowing from his head. It said beyond recognition. You couldn't even have recognized him. And he said, if this is what I do to my only begotten son, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? That's the word of God. Where's your fear of God? You walk around through this world so lascivious. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you're going to hell. You're on your way to hell. You're lost. And you're so lascivious and lighthearted about God and His Word. And you're so happy-go-lucky. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, brethren, we got some wonderful folks here. And I love you. I preach like this because I see Satan got his claws in some of my youth. And they're dug down in his flesh and it makes me stinking angry. It makes me angry when parents are so lascivious and lighthearted and blind that they can't see the devil killing their children away. It grieves me when they're religious. And we got to get right with God. We need to get prayer lives. We need to start talking to God and asking God to help us. You know, when parents teach their children to lie, well, I'm not home. I'm not taking that call. And then the children do the same thing to them. And then they wonder why you can't never believe them or not. Lying and being untruthful. When they're being untruthful and they don't have no conscience about it. When they look a preacher in the eye and misrepresent things, that's a lie from hell. No fear of God. They might be beautiful. They may be able to sing. They may be able to play instruments. But when you got a lying devil, your destiny is hell. And we got to learn to put a stop to it. We got to learn to start demanding things that are right and truthful and honest and righteous. We got to be so cautious. Man, these people will sneak in and rob you. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Rob? Let me tell you something. You can be robbed of virtue. You could be robbed of virtue, brothers and sisters, without a physical touch. Listen to me. The gaze of the eye. And you could be robbed and be numbered a whore because of the gaze of the eye and the forwardness. Where are these Proverbs women? These virtuous women? Where are they at, brethren? Where's the mothers? Where are these fathers at? Where are these dads and fathers that used to raise their children and teach them and work with them and labor with them? Where's these mothers who set examples of godliness and what a lady is? Where's it at? Everything's diminishing, brethren. Where's our family times? You know, I raised up in a heathen home, but we sat down at a dinner table every night. As children, every night. We sat down at a table and the whole family got together. Families need family time. Where's it at? I'm guilty, brethren, of what I'm saying. I get so busy preaching and doing and counseling and things like that. But where is the family? Where's the mold? Where's the patterns? Where's the time together? You see, and it's, we get, as I ministered the other night, we get to just, you know, running and like a man beating at the air. We just get to running, brethren. And we get so busy doing something that we think we're doing something for God, but we've totally missed God. We're too busy for God. That's a dangerous place to be, brethren. Y'all quiet. I love you and I appreciate you. We've got some wonderful folks here. But brethren, let me say this in closing. Yeah, there's exhortation that goes forth in this church, reproof and rebuke. The Bible said the man of God is thoroughly equipped to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. Yes, with all long suffering. Paul said, you know, in another place, that you know, I came to you heavy. I purpose not to do that, but I come heavy, he says. And brethren, we've got to get tuned in here and start realizing where we're at and what's around us and what's out here. Because the enemy came to kill and steal and destroy. And the thing is if we allow him in our camp, I remember this little writing wasn't long back about the stranger that came to visit this home. Some of you know where I'm going. And this was a Christian home. They didn't allow cussing in there. They didn't allow smoking in their house. They didn't allow drinking in their home at all. Well, all of a sudden, this stranger came to their house. He cussed, he drank, and he smoked. And Dad didn't think nothing of it. Let the stranger do it. He raised his children without drinking, smoking, and cursing and things at home. But he allowed this stranger to come in the house and he drank. He cursed and he smoked and he lied. He was a whoremonger and all these things. And he never said nothing. They made allowances for it. A little kid would say something, get his mouth washed out with soap. All he did was hear the stranger say it. The stranger was called TV, television. You understand? We're not going to allow you to do this in the house, but you allow this other thing to come in, and it's doing that all the time. So what is our children being trained by? It's like I told you, the mother comes to me and said, but Brother Rob, you know, the Bible said you raise them up the way they go and they won't depart. How come my kids out there? Because you didn't raise them up. Hollywood raised them. The television raised them. The public school system raised them. And they pumped them full of an ideology of perversion. Let me tell you what being politically correct is. You want to send your kids to college. You go get a college degree for they can be politically correct. Oh, there's nothing wrong with being a perverted faggot. Oh, it's just an alternate lifestyle. And they'll even go to tell you that God made them that way. And they're right, he did. The Bible said he made some of them to be taken and burned. And he made that faggot freaking burn him in hell and use him for firewood to burn the other heathen up. How you like that, huh? This sounds like something we need to put on national TV. Y'all visit me in prison? Come on now, brethren. What we're doing is we get our senses seared over. The Bible talks about our conscience being seared over with a hot iron. Oh, we read that, we can quote it, we tell you the address, tell you where it's at. Come on now. What does it mean when a conscience seared over? Oh, don't bother me none. I don't care what they think. That's their problem. They're just a bunch of religious hypocrites anyway. Bunch of Pharisees. People that sit under Brother Pike, listen to me preach like that, say, man, Brother Rob's just a religious Pharisee. He's just self-righteous. That's what they say. Many of them say that. Let me tell you something. I go home with fear and trembling before God. Because I know that if I yield my members as I prayed when I opened up this service for not be me, but be the Lord. The Lord is displeased. Now, if you can't see your nation falling and failing and your government failing, if you can't see that, then you're just simply blind. You ought to be able to see the failure of your nation. And then somewhere you're going to have to separate yourself and find out what is happening. Why is America falling? Why is the nation falling? Why do we have Obama for a president? Because God put him there. Because it was your desire. What my desire, preacher? He said he'll give you a king after your own heart. America's failed. The government's failed. The school system's failed. But the reason they've all failed is because the church has failed. The preachers quit preaching against these things. Where's the ladies? You know, nowadays you don't see men holding the door open for a lady going into the marketplace anyway. You know why? Because the ladies are all gone. They turned into a bunch of tramps. They don't talk like ladies. I've got a niece that if I happen to see some of her posts, she talks filthier than a 65 sailor. Supposed to be a woman? Got little children that come over there on her little Facebook wall, and they come over to her Facebook wall, and it's a mother using the F word and writing all this perversion and stuff on there. Come on now. Where's the ladies at? Where's decency at? And it's like I shared the story about the one that took off her sweater, and then they got this whole little chat room going, and I was saying, oh man, what's wrong with them people? And they started slandering the ladies that backed away because of the tattoos, when the Christian woman should have stood there and said, you know what, I've offended my God. I can't win a soul. I can't help people. I've hindered my little daughter to have her friends come over because I decided to mark myself up like some kind of filthy pervert. That's the way she should have analyzed it. And she should have looked towards heaven and said, God, have mercy on me for being so ignorant and so stupid. But see, it's just opening up a door for devils and demons. That's all it's doing. So, what are we going to do? We can walk out of here tonight, go our way, praise God, hallelujah. Man, we endured another service. We made a way out and examine and see what God's saying. If this isn't the Lord speaking, then you all crazy to come back. Come on now. You're absolutely crazy to come back to this church if this ain't God. I wouldn't sit there on a bunch of foolishness like this if it ain't God. I love you, but I got to scream out, woe unto him who holds the sword back from blood. Come on now. If you see evil coming against the city and you don't cry out against it, how many else besides me are getting tired of seeing people you love and family members getting yanked away into the devil's clutches? How many are tired of seeing friends on their way to hell? How many are tired of seeing people they went to church with out in the bars and out in the dance halls and out in the sports games and out in the ball fields? How many of you are getting sick and tired of seeing your families going to hell? And then you wonder what the preacher's supposed to do. He's going to preach the word of God, and you're going to turn away from your sin, and you're going to fall in love with Jesus, and you're going to start walking with him and fellowshipping with him. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Brethren, if there's a church in North Carolina with godly people and holiness people, it's right here. But I'm going to keep on preaching like this for you can hold on, because the devil's trying to knock this thing down. He's trying to kill. He's trying to steal. He's trying to destroy. He wants to stop this. He wants to put it to a stop. And I'm going to keep on preaching. Something happens to Brother Rob, and I get martyred for preaching the gospel. I hope every one of you brethren will rise up and carry on preaching the exact same thing, and don't deviate one iota from it. You understand what I'm saying? The Christians have lost America. America's a reprobate, perverted, filthy country. It's perverted. Are you with me? Say, man, I'm an American. I'm proud to be American. I'm proud to be a son of God. I'm proud to have a king named Jesus. I'm glad that he come and saved my wretched, sorry self and brought me out of this world and made me a separate people and a peculiar people. We're supposed to be peculiar. When your Christianity looks like the world, talks like the world, acts like the world, and frolics in this world, it isn't Christianity. My Christianity makes us peculiar. The Bible said they hated Jesus first, and that they'll hate you also. And when your Christianity and you're popular, and your Christianity, everybody loves you, and your Christianity, everybody likes you, you ain't got Christianity! Jesus said this. For you that think he just walks around and hugging the faggots and the perverts and the whores, you've been taught wrong. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I come to bring a sword to put the mother against the daughter and the father against the son and the mother-in-law and against the daughter-in-law. That's what Jesus said. So get out of your religious bunch of vomit and start serving God and realize who he is and what he is. We got to get out of this lasciviousness. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I just love Jesus. Oh, I love everybody. I don't love everybody. I am angry with the wicked just like my God is. And they make me sick. He said he'll spew you out of his mouth and rip you into pieces and laugh. You got that in you, Brother Rum? Let me tell you something, brethren. It's getting hard to endure what's going on in my land. It's getting hard. Lot was vexed in his righteous soul. when he saw what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm getting vexed, brethren, with the things I'm watching in this world and watching the things that are taking place. And the way somebody just shared a story with me in the last day or two. It's Brother Chuck. And there was a restaurant that would give 15% discount to anybody that prayed over their food. 15% discount. Hey, I like that. I might have been old wretched heathen sucking a joint and drinking a bud on the way down, but oh yeah, Lord God, thank you for the food. 15%. Come on now. That's what the devil should have done. He should have took advantage of it too. But he didn't. They raised up and they got angry about it. And they put a lawsuit against the restaurant. Said, it's not fair to us that don't pray over our food that they get their food cheaper. So the restaurant had to stop it. I'm a jerk. Remember that. I told you all that myself. You heard it here. Man, I'd be going 30% next week. 30% off. I seen a man go to jail in Springfield, Missouri. You know why? He walked into his refrigerator in his convenience store and he got the milk out. And he walked out into the street and the cameras were there viewing him. And he dumped it out. And it was his milk. And he dumped it out right into the gutters. Walked back in and got more and they filmed it. And he got in trouble because he violated a law for selling his milk too cheap. They said that there was a name for this thing that was put on the milk. And you couldn't sell below this price. And this guy said, look, I'm the store owner. I buy it. If I take a loss on it, that's my business. And he got in trouble, got arrested for violating a law. So he went out and dumped all the milk out. You see, I'm just telling you, what kind of ignorant country are we living in? What kind of foolishness? Let me tell you, I believe in the freedom of speech, but you and I are losing it, and they're giving it to every pervert out there. Freedom of speech only applies to the perverts. You understand? I should have the freedom to tell a sodomite, sir, with all due respect and love, you're on your way to hell, sir. And they call that a hate crime. That's love, brethren. That's what that is, love. But we can't do that. They make everything into these issues of these things. Why? For they could pervert the rest of the world. And we got preachers bowing down to this. Let's all stand together. I love y'all and appreciate you. I'm not going to take off for 10 days again. I love y'all. Y'all are wonderful people. Take heed to what you heard tonight. Don't at any given time let it slip away from you. Brethren, it might sound foolish to you. It might sound crazy to you. You might be wondering about it, but let me tell you something. Young people, listen. I used to be your age and know everything too. I didn't even get a smile out of nobody on that one. Sometimes we think we got a grip on things and got it all analyzed and worked out. But let me tell you something, the mind that you got. Listen closely to me. If you got the mind of Christ, you'll find fellowship with others in the mind of Christ. If you got the mind of the devil, you'll find fellowship in the mind of the devil. That's why the Bible said two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And when I see people that I'm looking at their life and I say, now wait a minute. And I look at them, Brother Randy. And I say, why is this person fellowshipping this person? Why? Because I can't fellowship that person because my spirit's grieved when I'm with that person. That person ain't clean. That person's not right. I can't fellowship with them. I cannot fellowship with them. Now, I know Jesus went into certain homes and done certain things, and you say fellowship, he brought the word to them. I could bring the word, but when you find I'm talking about fellowshipping, there's a difference. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The thing is let's remove religion for a moment. There's no God, hypothetically, no God. We're all going to live here to be, you know, maybe 70, maybe 80. You might be fortunate to live to be 100 and use a walker. I don't care. But whatever. And then you're going to die and go back to the worms and you're going to be worm baiting and they're going to feed the worm to the fish. The next guy eats fish and you're just going to get in this cycle, okay? So just remember, you're just dung somewhere. All right? All right, we're removing God, brother. Is that okay? That's the truth, ain't it? All flesh goes back to dust. If you don't believe the Bible, at least that part of it's right, huh?
Amen.
Goes back to dirt. The thing is if that's the case, this is what I was trained before I ever came to Christianity. I was trained that if I wanted to be a millionaire, you know what I needed to do? I needed to think like a millionaire. You know why people aren't millionaires? Because they don't know how to think like a millionaire thinks. A millionaire thinks he could do a lot of things. You say he can because he's got $1 million. Come on now. But if you start thinking like a millionaire, you'll attain $1 million. Now, I'm not teaching positive thinking here and all this kind of stuff, but the Word of God is very positive. But this is what they teach you in the world. And it works. The Bible, you know, teaches us things. You know, we could do all things through Christ. Man, give the glory to God and do it through the Lord. When you do it through yourself, you know, when you do it, a heathen that don't know God, he could do it and it works and apply. But you as the Son of God, it won't work for you. Because God will blow on your substance. Because you're taking the glory to yourself. But I'm talking about, if you want to be a millionaire, I'm removed God for a moment, remember? And you're hanging around with this guy over here and you're saying, man, this is going to be a good business deal, man. We're going to make us some good money. God, no, it ain't never going to work. Brother Rob, I'm telling you, oh, we're not Christians no more. Hey, you heathen Rob, it ain't going to work, dude. You know better than that. Come on, we're going to lose our tail end, boy. Man, I can't put no money in that. You know what? You won't do it because you submitted to the evil communication of that man. We're not outside the word right now. I know I'm speaking Bible, but it works out there. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we find people that are hanging around with people and they're corrupted. Their mind is corrupted and they don't realize it. But it's the Word of God. It has to be that way. You start thinking that way. You're what you're eating of all the time. And when you're fellowshipping another mind, there's people, children that came out of Bethlehem, Brother Randy. They raised up there and stuff, and their parents sat under the screen, and they're defiling and speaking against the man of God. And they're talking about this like there's some kind of spiritual authority. And they've gone off into such perversions. You know what? If I shared some of the perversions of some of the youth that came out of that church, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all's hair would stand up on your head or fall off, one or the other. Things that are so abased, brother. So filthy and so abased. So abased that I couldn't even mention them, brother. That I would feel embarrassed to talk to you by yourself, man to man, of some of the filth that some of these people have got into. And the sad thing is, they'll use the name of the Lord. And feel like they got the rights. I'm not speaking against the Brotherhood of Little Bethlehem. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about some of these youth that come out of this thing. I counseled a man and woman that was in adultery, brother. The woman committed adultery on her husband. And I watched the way the husband was dealing with this and he wasn't even upset. You know what I think, brother? A man needs to be so fiercely angry. It takes the control of God. It takes the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to keep him from ripping another man's head off or touching his wife. That's the way I think. I think it's a violation to touch another man's wife. I think it's a violation. And you should have the anger of God in your spirit. But yes, you need to control your spirit. But when a man, like, hey, it's all right. I'm thinking, my God, this guy got a hold of the Holy Ghost or something. This one, I'm analyzing this. I mean, man, this man has absolutely got a hold of the Holy Ghost because he ain't even got no anger in him. I'm ready to go kill the sucker for him. But then I come to find out the reason he didn't have no anger because he'd already been sharing his wife with other men while he was with their wife. Come on now, these people sat in a holiness church and you guys think that I'm wrong for preaching like this when we got the same kind of ignorance that comes among us and it'll bring the same thing down if we don't stand for the Word of God and preach the gospel.
Amen.
You better be careful, little sisters, who you're talking with. You better be careful, little brothers, of what you're fellowshipping with. Subverted women laden with lust will take you down. You got people making presentations to you. Oh, it's okay. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Oh, it's okay. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And you'll die. And God's going to rip you into pieces. And I'm going to be the one that has to bury you. And watch your parents bawl. And watch them bleed with God. You're too lighthearted. Too lascivious when it comes to God. Well, if I feel like it, I'll go to church. Well, if I want to. What are you going to do when God won't let you in the door? Come on. What are you going to do when the preacher cuts you off and said, you ain't welcome here? You say you wouldn't do that. I'll tell you what, it's getting close. It's getting close. There's a couple not here tonight, more than one. Amen. Some of them are tired of Brother Rob's preaching. Praise God, I've been trying to run the devil off. Amen. You got the devil and you want to leave? I'll open the door for you, but I'd rather you open the door yourself and let the devil leave and you get right with God.
Amen.
I don't want nobody to leave. I love you, and I love people. I'm a soul winner, but I ain't going to put up with the devil coming in defiling my people.
Amen.
It ain't going to happen. I'm a shepherd. I'm called to watch after the flock. I can't watch your computers. I can't watch everything in your homes, but brethren, we better wise up, and we better be careful. We're in a mass communication day and hour. You know, everybody's go to a restaurant, husband, wife sitting there. What's going on? I thought we were closing, Brother Rob. Well, I don't know if we need an altar service or what. What do you think, Brother Edward? If we have one, we probably need to be here till about midnight getting prayed through. Amen. Brethren, I love you. I appreciate you. And I will stand to my statement. You're the greatest people and the greatest and probably the strongest church when it comes to standards of godliness and holiness in this state. And I mean that. Let me tell you something. I don't put all the clout in because a woman wearing a dress or growing her hair long. I know some women wearing long dresses and got long hair that are whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. I know men that dress right and stuff, and they ain't nothing but devil incarnate. But I'll tell you something, when you find somebody got the Holy Ghost and filled with the love of God, they're going to line up and they're going to dress properly. My Bible says, present your body, your soul, and your spirit. And you need to get some revelation and some understanding what that means. And you think, oh, God just looks on the heart. You know, He just looks on the heart. That's all He does. You're so wrong. He sent preachers here to judge you. The Bible said judgment begins right here in the house of God. If you reject the judgment that you heard from this sacred desk tonight, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find a much severe judgment than what you heard here tonight. The judgment that you see tonight has got mercy in it, saying, repent,
amen.
Come out of the world and be a separate people. Fall on your face before God and get right with God. Get the unclean things out of your life and serve the Lord. You got a chance, but when you stand before Him, you got zero chance. Mm-hmm. He's not going to listen to your reasoning. He's not going to listen to you. You won't get one excuse out of your mouth. Only thing you'll hear is, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Well, you say the Bible says that they made a confession before Him and said that they cast out devils in my name. Laid hands on the sick. And yeah, they did. They got to open their mouth and it was cast into the lake of fire. But let me tell you something. He was showing you an example there in His Word. And I told you this, the Lord Jesus, because it said, let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be part of my calling. And I'm going to be standing with Him when some of the people that you all know are going to stand there. And I'm going to be there as a witness. Say, Lord God, I've done everything in my ability to preach your word. I've offended people. I've made people mad. I was disliked and hated just like you were. And I'll be there as a witness. And Ann will be cast in the lake of fire. That's the word. It's the word.
Right.
I told you when the Lord spoke to me and said that I'll put more people in hell than I bring into heaven. When He spoke that to me, I wanted to run. I didn't want nothing to do with the ministry. But you know what? After I got my understanding and come to my understanding and heard the end of the matter, that's every single preacher that there is. The same thing said to every preacher. I could pull this Holy Bible out right here. And you say, this book right here is the way to eternal life to bring you into heaven. And I'm standing here holding the same book up. And I said, but this book putting more people in hell. This book right here. Without the knowledge of this book, they will not be put into eternal damnation because they won't have no knowledge of the sin. Go read it in Numbers 15. Is one place, I believe it's 15. They don't have no knowledge of sin. wouldn't be imputed. But when we bring this word to you, I brought the word to you tonight. You'll never be cold ever again because you've received the word. Conform to the word. Line up with the word. Amen. I love you. I do. I love you. But I'm preaching the word. We got to get it. We got to tighten in. We got to hold on to the sword. We got to get our hand in the nail scarred hand of Jesus. And we got to walk with him. Have fear. Fear brings wisdom. If you got no fear of God, I'm telling you, you are in trouble. Because the fear of God brings the understanding and wisdom and love of God. Amen. Fall in love with Jesus. Let's sing a couple songs and we'll close. Thank you for adequate time. I know it's late. But saints of God, as I expressed in the ministering of the word, it breaks my heart to see people that I love, man, falling away, brother. It tears me out of the frame to see people that I care about and really genuinely love and just see them falling away. Some would say, well, maybe, Brother Rob, you need to go after this one or go after that one. I'm a spirit-led man. I go after what God tells me to because God removes some. Why would I go after something that God removes? Sometimes people got to go through some things outside. Sometimes they got to go out and get their head busted a few times. You know, or whatever. But I'm there to pick them up as the Lord leads. You know, and sometimes you'll judge me thinking that I should do this and this is what I think you should do. Well, you talk to God about it. So I'm a servant of God and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. If he tells me to honor one, I'll honor him. If he tells me to put one out, I'll put one out. If he tells me to go see one, I've been in my spirit before longing to go see one, but I never got the clearance from God. And then when he gave it to me, it didn't take me 5 minutes. I was on the phone and I was making calls, trying to help. But you see, God's ways are not Brother Rob's ways. God's ways, and sometimes a man has got to go through a process. Sometimes a woman has got to go through a process. And some of them might be processed right out, and they'll never come back. Can you deal with that? Are you going to find fault with God if he has one vessel to dishonor? Are you going to do that? I won't. I say things strongly, but I've come to love my God. And it's all about him and him and him alone. Amen. And the thing is if he puts my son or my daughter in hell, brother, or my wife or my mother or my father, he has so much love for me that he'll bring me into a revelation to understand exactly why I'll love him even the more. That's how much God's love is different than your love. And you say, I just don't understand that. I understand it perfectly. There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no tears there. Right. There'll be no remembrance there. Right. Brethren, those things will be totally taken because we're in the spirit with him. If he's not seeing the sin of this world, what makes you think when you're with him, you're going to see it? No. Come on, man. If he doesn't see the sin of this world because of the blood atonement, brethren, what makes you think that you're going to see it when you're there? That heathen, daughter, son, brother, sister, you'll have zero remembrance of them in the kingdom if they're not there with you. That's a mighty God, isn't it? Amen. Wash away every sorrow, every pain, and every tear. Believe the word. Walk with the word. Amen. His ways aren't your ways, nor mine. Fall in love with Jesus, trust him. You say, I don't want to see my mama go to hell. I don't want to see my daddy go to hell. Nor do I. Love them and be an example before them. Follow God's way. You try to win souls your way and all you do is fuddle it up and get in the way. Do it God's way. Sometimes silence will win a soul before you could open your mouth. Sometimes you open your mouth, they'll turn them away. Follow the leading of the Lord. Be in subjection to him and him alone. All right, let's sing a song or two. Reach altars are open this evening. Let's find the Lord God. Let's have genuine repentance before the Lord. Let's say, Lord God, I need help.
You'll find he's not too.
If I ask the ones that need help to come in the altars tonight, every man and woman should be in these altars. We all need help. We all need God. Amen. We all need more of him. We all need more revelation. We all need more understanding. We all need more sensitivity. We all need the power of the resurrection in our life in a greater way, in a greater measure. That's what we need, saints of God. We can't watch our families perish. We can't watch our families go to hell and just think, so be it. We need to take the responsibility as the children of God and say, God, help me. God, have mercy on me. Help me to be an example. Help me to be a light. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, honor our repentance. Oh, Lord God, as we stand before you with a true, genuine heart of repentance, God. Have mercy on us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let us turn to you, Lord. Let us be sensitive to your still, small voice. Let us yield, Almighty God. Let us walk with you. Let us fellowship with you. Let us learn, Almighty God, from you. Use us for your glory, for your praise, for your honor. Save us, Almighty God. Forgive us of our sins, Lord God. Set us free. Set us apart. Take the chains of bondage off of us, God, and set us free, Lord God. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, have mercy on us. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord God. Fill us with your spirit and your power, Lord God. Grant the Holy Ghost to us, Lord. Let us walk in the divine power of your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I look out here and I see mothers and fathers that have lost children. Oh, my heart goes out to you. I understand and I know. You know, and I say, man, we got to pull together and pray the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we know what that is? Do we know what that means? I think a fervent prayer goes beyond, oh God, bless my dinner tonight. Amen. Thank you for this food, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I'm going to go do a church job tomorrow and help us and bless us. That's a wonderful way to pray, and you should be. But you know, the Bible said that they were crying out between the porch and the altar, howling. You know, and we got family members, brethren, that are dying and perishing and going to hell. Are we concerned? Do we care? I'm talking to me. Do I care? Am I just, you know, well, so be it, you know. It must be the one that God just has to dishonor. So be it. But, you know, somewhere we could claim by faith. Somewhere we could claim. You know, the jailer, when the jail doors came open, he was going to lose his life. You know, and the thing is, because these prisoners escaped, man, you know, they would take, if the prisoners escaped, they would kill the guard. That's the way they done it in them days. Man, you violated your job. You let these murderers out, and we're going to kill you for that. You know, but the great apostle told one of them there, he said, even your whole household will be saved because of their action. Do we have those kind of actions that we could expect our whole household to be at it?
Amen.
To come into the kingdom because of our labors? What about Lot's boys? Were they righteous? Lot was, but were they righteous when they were saved and come out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Look what took place, man, when the boat hit the ground. Look what took place, the wretched things that took place. But they were saved from that thing because God loved the righteous man. He loved the righteous man. Can we live a righteous enough life that God is going to help some of our families and pluck them out of the hands of the devil? There ain't nothing worse to think that mama's going to hell or daddy's going to hell. But we think, oh, God loves everybody. You ain't read the Bible. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It said he hated Esau. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He hated those apostles, it said in there. And he commended them others for likewise doing the same. Come on now. We got to find out what, you know, we lean on this religious, you know, this religious vomit, you know, and we got this all worked out that we know what this God is. If he's the same to every generation, I could take you over there again in Numbers and read where they put the guy to death. They stoned him to death for picking up sticks on Saturday. And you say he's still that way? The difference is right now he sees everything through the blood of Jesus. And if he brings judgment on somebody for picking up sticks today, you know what that means? It's the end of the world.
Right.
It means he's bringing judgment down on this entire world. So he is, right now we're in a dispensation of grace. What does that mean, Brother Rob? It means right now, if you are lost on your way to hell, you've got the dispensation of grace there with you. And you could repent and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me, Lord God. Save me. Set me free. Fill me with your spirit. Save my soul, Lord God. Confess with your mouth and truly believe that in your heart. The Bible said you must be born again to make it into the kingdom of God. My wife was a Catholic, raised up a Catholic. And I said, have you been born again? I never even heard of that, she said. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, if he said you must be born again to inherit the kingdom, don't you think we ought to take heed to that? Don't you think we ought to listen to that? Catechism ain't going to save you. The Baptist church ain't going to save you. The Methodist church of God ain't going to save you. The only thing that will save you is Jesus and him alone.
Right.
He's our Savior. He's our salvation. Amen. That's it. It's him. Fall in love with him. Talk to him. Speak to him. He loves you. He'll wink at your iniquities and your ignorances and allow you to repent and come in. He'll put all those things behind you. He said when you turn and do righteous, that all the things that you've done previous to that are forgotten about. That's what he says in his word. He said he'll forget about them. Put them in the sea of forgetfulness, the sea of forgiveness. He'll forget about it. You understand it? But after you come to that, and then you go off and do those things, he don't forget about that. You'll pay a price for it. You'll hear about it. You'll be chastened. You'll be beat with many stripes. I know that by experience too, Brother John. I've been chastened to my Lord. Your daddy ever whip you when you was a kid? Did he love you? Is that why? If he didn't care, he wouldn't have whooped your hind end, boy. You do know that, right? Well, you know my Heavenly Father, he says in his word that he whips. He chastens them that he loves. And if you're not chastened of the Lord, he says in his word that you're a bastard child. That's what he says right in that Bible. A bastard means you don't have no father. I have a heavenly father. My spirit cries, Abba, Father. Amen. So, brethren, let's be right with God. Let's get right with God. In the morning when we wake up, remember to say a prayer for the Kairos sisters there and the family, God there, our wives and things. Remember to pray for them. Amen. Remember to hold them up in prayer. I love you all and appreciate you. Let's say a word of prayer and we'll close the service, okay? Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we ask you to help us, Lord Jesus. Father, don't let us get so busy, Father, that we don't have time to win a soul. Don't let us even think that we're so busy doing something for you, Lord God, that we're not seeing the things that are right under our feet, Lord God. Father, don't let us be so busy trying to win another household to God or trying to win another soul or another family or another town or another country that we stand in perils in our own households, Lord God. Father, let us be careful. Let us be cautious. Let us use discernment, Lord. I pray that you would grant discernment of spirits to us, Lord, that we could discern the things that we walk, talk, and fellowship with. Lord, protect us from evil communications. Protect us from having our good manners corrupted, Lord God, by it. Father, let us be a light, an example, Lord God. Let us be soul winners, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to desire you and your word. Father, help us, Lord. Father, we're a people that are weak and a people that need help. We're a people, Lord God, that have yielded to the devices of Satan, Lord, and his powers of deception. Father, we know in your word that you promise that your elect cannot be deceived, Father, but sometimes I would have to question the election of some because I find deception laying in the members of their flesh, Lord God. And Father, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you help us and lead us and direct us and open our eyes to see those things. Satan, I adjure you in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you will not take one of these brothers or sisters in Jesus' name. I claim each and every one as a child of the King. I claim each one of being washed in the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I say you cannot touch in Jesus' name. I say, I rebuke you in the name of my Lord and Savior, and I say, take your bloody hands off in Jesus' name. I say, you cannot kill nor steal or destroy one of God's elect children. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that there will be a spirit of faith that rises up within the innermost being of each and every brother and sister in here. Father, I pray a prayer of faith over these youth. Father, I see the anointing of God and the talents and the beauty, Lord God of holiness, upon them. And Father, I see Satan wanting to rob that and steal that and take it. And Father, I ask you in the name of my Lord and Savior to put a hedge of protection around them, a cloak of protection. And Father, anything that would come into this church and try to rob or steal or take one of them, I curse it right now in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say, stop it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and put a stop to it. Father, help us. Help us, Lord God. Help us to see and discern. In the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you all.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.